Our study tonight is out of Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 17 through 28. The sign of Ezekiel's trembling, the need to reject errant messages to heed God. People who are very rebellious toward God often hold to an errant belief about what is right and wrong because they have heeded an errant teacher with errant theology. Such blindness leads to a lack of concern over the directives and even warnings of Scripture or those who teach God's Word. It's a very dangerous state. Well, to clarify the great need for sinners to reject errant messages and heed God's Word so as to repent of their sin, God had Ezekiel act out the sign of his trembling in Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 17 to 28. And of course, we review this event for our instruction. I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 17 through 28. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, eat thy bread with quaking, and drink thy water with trembling, and with carefulness or anxiety. And say unto the people of the land, Thus saith the Lord God of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and of the land of Israel, they shall eat their bread with anxiety, and drink their water with astonishment. That her land may be desolate from all that is therein, because of the violence of all them that dwell therein. And the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, and the land shall be desolate, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is that proverb that you have in the land of Israel, saying, The days are prolonged, and every vision faileth? Tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease. And they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, The days are at hand, the effect of every vision. For there shall be no more any vain vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall no longer be delayed. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, and will perform it, saith the Lord God. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, The vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesieth of times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, There shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. All right. And yet another prophetic sign to the captives of Babylon. The Lord told Ezekiel to eat his food with quaking and drink his water with trembling and anxiety. In other words, he's supposed to have his hands shaking as he's drinking his water, his whole body shaking, and so forth. Ezekiel was to explain to his audience that this sign predicted that Jerusalem's inhabitants would experience, they would partake of their meals with anxiety and dismay when the land of Israel was stripped of all the valuables it contained in punishment for the violent sins of all who dwelt in it. It's interesting, for a person to eat a meal, normally when you're eating the meal, you're sitting down and you're relaxing. But the shock, the emotional shock and the mental shock to the system is going to be so great that even when people are trying to relax and eating a meal, their bodies are going to be shaking just like this, which means it's going to be traumatic. The inhabited cities would be laid waste, the land be left desolate, and the people of Judah would realize that the Lord, as the true God, had performed this punishment of them because of their sin. Well, to explain why this sign of dreading God's punishment was so important, the Lord explained to Ezekiel that a proverb had been circulating in the land of Israel that the days grow long and every vision comes to nothing. And that's actually quoting the English Standard Version, Ezekiel 12, 21 and 22. In other words, though the prophets of God, like Jeremiah and Ezekiel, predicted God's judgment would come and that it would be severe, their hearers had turned complacent, claiming these predictions had not been fulfilled soon enough to make them think they would be fulfilled in their time. I said, well, the vision is probably for a long time away. I hear people that will interpret the book of Revelation that way and say, oh, Revelation was always fulfilled either long ago or it's going to be a long time in the past. Thus, God claimed that he would cause this proverb no longer to be spoken in Israel. that Ezekiel was to tell the people that the days of the fulfillment of the predictions of dire judgment were near. The cause of the rise of this errant proverb had been the ministry of false prophets who gave flattering predictions that the people would enjoy peace and prosperity because they were not really sinful. Sounds like a liberal pastor today. Just, you know, people go to the church to hear, you know, how wonderful they are and have their ears tickled and be just complimented up one side and now the other. But that's not the truth. So God said he would put an end to such false prophecies. The Lord claimed that he was the Lord, that he would speak the word that he willed to speak, and it would be fulfilled, no longer being delayed. In fact, God, through Ezekiel, addressed the rebellious house of Israel, claiming he would speak the word in judgment and perform it. Now, an explanation before we get into verses 26 and 27. In Hebrew, if you want to emphasize something, you repeat it. I always enjoy reading 1 Samuel 18 about David's slaying of Goliath and how the writer there talks about how David slew Goliath with a sling, and then he repeats it. There was nothing in David's hand but a sling, and so he slew the giant with a sling. Why is he repeating it? Because it was such an astounding event. Well, God repeats something here in verses 26 and 27. To reaffirm the truthfulness of this entire lesson, the word of the Lord repeated to Ezekiel again, that though the people of Judah claimed the prophecies of judgment and doom by God's prophet were a long time off to be fulfilled, God asserted that none of his words would be delayed any longer. The word he had spoken through his credible prophets would soon be fulfilled. God was not giving these prophecies just to wait and fulfill them many decades down the road. He was giving these prophecies a warning because he wanted people to be jarred so that they might have a chance to repent immediately. Not later, not tomorrow, not the next day, immediately. Reminds me when I was a child or a young person, I was living at home. Dad would tell me to do something. If I didn't do it right away, he would say, "Don, what did I tell you?" "Oh, you told me to do that, but I'll do it." And he says, "No, when I told you to do that, I want you to do it stat. I don't want you to decide in some other time. I tell you to do something, I want you to do it immediately." And God's doing the same thing here. He says, when I'm giving these messages, I'm giving them for people to listen to and obey now. So the lesson is, move to complacency and unbelief versus the dire predictions by God's prophets of terrible punishment for sin due to the false messages of false prophets who flattered the people with claims of how good they were. God directed Ezekiel to perform the sign of trembling when he ate his meals to signify the reality of coming judgment, that it would cause great suffering and fear due to the fulfillment of the prophecies of God's true prophets. God would put an end to the false sayings spurred by lying prophets with lying teachings by soon fulfilling his word of judgment. Israel would know that the Lord was sovereign and that his warnings of punishment were true. Now, in application, may we realize that God deals with us in accordance with what his word actually states, not what some Christian claims it might say or suggests otherwise than what we clearly read. I've come to that situation. I have to spend a lot of time studying the word and preparing messages that I found a lot of times. You'll read something in a book, and boy, that doesn't sound like the scripture itself. And I look at the scripture, and I've had to struggle with that sometimes. And then eventually I'll find out another credible commentary that says, this interpretation that people take is wrong. It shouldn't go this way. And that helps to certify and make it clear. But I realize that the Lord judges me in regards to what I know his word actually says. So failure to heed what we know God's word says in the face of claims to the contrary is very foolish, for God keeps his word. It's interesting, God judges us someday. He's not going to judge us by what the commentaries say. He's not going to judge us by what some other Christian told. He's going to judge us by what his word says. Paul says that God will judge men according to my gospel, according to my truth. So we need to be in the word itself. Number two, if we read a warning in Scripture, we need to apply it seriously, even if the warning was initially given to another party in another era. After all, we are subject to an unchanging God. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, though the actual rules that God had other saints heed differ from those he has for us, The righteousness he demanded of saints in former eras is the same level of righteousness he demands of us. Incidentally, when I was writing this number two, I became very convicted by what I'd actually written here, and so I went to prayer and I confessed a particular situation that was practice that I was doing in my life, because it was something that was bothering my conscience, so I cleared it up right away. This is why the Word of God is so timeless. The God who wrote His Word is timeless, and the rules that He gives us in our era differ from the rules of other believers, but the righteousness that He was seeking by administering the rule in that generation, whatever, is the righteousness that He wants in us. So we need to be very careful and make sure that we're applying the Word of God. Three, there's a tendency for those in apostasy to disrespect God and thus to disrespect His Word, seeking alternate viewpoints taught by other teachers. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:3-4, the time would come when people would leave healthy doctrine and go after other teachers, seeking to have their ears itched. And he warned him, no, you stay true to the Word. So we need to resist the lure to follow the crowd of even sometimes fellow believers in believing or doing what clearly violates Scripture. For yielding to peer pressure versus heeding Scripture will still bring God certain severe discipline. We have a young man in our church who went away to a Christian college, a Christian university, and he got into the university, and that university was actually, or Christian college, was actually started by a Christian leader. You know, if I mention his name, you would know it. And that Christian leader taught that under certain circumstances, a Christian could remarry after divorce. And so this student who had been in our church found out that just practically all the students in that school, Christians, believed in divorce and remarriage because this founder of the school had taught that. And he contacted me with regards to that. I said, well, you know what the Word of God says? He says, yeah, I know. But he was just stunned to find that. And all of a sudden, he was in the minority, the vast majority, as amongst Christians. But it's important to hold this. So we need to resist the lure to follow the crowd, even of fellow Christians, and believe in it doing what clearly violates Scripture. For yielding to peer pressure versus heeding Scripture will still bring God certain severe discipline. My wife was listening on the radio. She was driving to my daughter's the other day. Dr. Tony Evans, he's an African-American pastor. He was a classmate of mine at Dallas Seminary. He was preaching. And he was preaching to his church and his congregation, and he was challenging the men, the African-American men in his church, to become leaders in their homes. Now, I worked with blacks when I was at Dallas Seminary. I worked on the truck docks in Dallas, unloading train cars and so forth, so I got to know them. And there's, in the African-American community, especially there in the South, it's a matriarchal family. The women are the ones who actually hold the family unit together, and the men often are not, you know, don't stick around or don't take the responsibility. And often what is blamed for the backwardness or the poverty and so forth of those in the African American community is racism, lack of economic opportunity, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But in having rubbed shoulders with a number of these blacks as I was working with them and so forth, and listening to them speak, I can tell they're just not assuming responsibility for their homes, for their marriages, for their children and everything. And that's a significant problem. And they're not disciplined in using their money. And in fact, some of them were coming to me and asking for advice, and I was trying to give them advice, and they said, oh, I can't do that because I'm not disciplined enough. And they actually admitted that. But for Dr. Evans, of all people, to stand up in his pulpit and dare to preach that the men in his congregation need to assume responsibility was a very courageous thing to do. And I laud him for it. I support this man. He understands from where he's coming from and from the Word of God that the men need to assume responsibility. And if they do more of that, there's going to be significantly less crime, especially with young African-American males and so forth. They've actually done studies and found that if the fathers stay at home and work with their boys, their chances of getting into crime and drugs fall precipitously, go way down, even if they're in an inner city situation. So I really support, and I laud, and I hope people listen to this on the internet, I really laud Dr. Evans for that stand. It was an outstanding stand. It's something that has been needed, and I'm sure he knows what it's like. He's faced racism and so forth as an African-American growing up, but he knows what the Word of God says, and he sees there's a need in that area. So that's what we need to do, is to pay attention to what God's Word said, even if we're in the minority, and go with it like Dr. Evans did.